Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, Christian Patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Coming off another hopefully restful weekend, getting ready for another week of insanity. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Boy, you're not kidding. Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Monochromatic Monday, where the truth of God is black and white.
Yes, it is.
And praise God for that. Praise God that He is truth. Wow.
We sure need that.
In this crazy world, truth is soothing to the ears, isn't it?
Well, it sure is, especially with all the delusion that's swirling around the world and enveloping our own country. You know, it reminds me of, I had to pull the scripture up because we heard it like, well, I don't know, two or three times over the weekend. But it comes from Luke chapter 21, it's verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity.
Right.
The sea and the waves roaring. So perplexity means there's no answers.
Right.
There's no solutions, you know, but of course, we haven't reached that point yet. But we're seeing that start to creep in. And really, there are solutions. There shouldn't be perplexity.
Right.
You know, get the communists out, seal the border, stop doing the things that you're doing that's destructive, you know, and following the lies like climate emergency there are answers. There's just not a will to follow the truth. So, unfortunately, those are the leaders that we have in places that are, you know, heads of nations that are taking us off this, you know, this cliff. Fortunately, well, we look forward to the Lord taking us off the train before it goes over the cliff.
Exactly. Let's all just pray that He come back soon, that we be looking up.
Yes.
Make sure that your lamps are full of oil. Make sure you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you, that you don't be caught off guard and you don't be left out.
That's right.
And don't be any of the five virgins that have your lamps only half full or empty altogether.
Yes.
You know, make sure that, and that, you know, that's of course pointing to walking in the Holy Spirit, having the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what the oil indicates, is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if you do a self-check to say, you know, let me, you know, like the gas gauge on your car, are you half full? Is it time for you to go to the gas station and fill back up? Right.
Is your gas light on?
Yes, exactly. Are you running that low? If your gas light is on, it is time to check into the Word of God and just immerse yourself and pray that He set His Holy Spirit upon you.
Right.
And that you walk in His ways so that it remains there. And you will know if your tank is only half full by doing a self-check on your conduct. Are you showing the fruits of the Holy Spirit?
There's a good gauge,
you know,
right there.
Exactly. Just go through that list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and you will know if your lamp is full or not.
Right.
You know, are you grumpy all the time? Are you pessimistic all the time? Are you sarcastic? Or, you know, they say sarcasm is anger's ugly cousin, right?
Right.
Well, are you always sarcastic? Are you flippant? Those are not fruits of the Holy Spirit, and this is not the time to be behaving any other way than having your lamp full.
That's true, and... Well, like the scripture that I just mentioned out of Luke, you know, there'll be perplexity in the nations. You see that. You see they're grasping. They're just grasping at the wind, trying to find solutions to all these dangerous crises that we're facing, right?
Right, right.
But to a believer, there should not be perplexity at all.
Right.
And just like we just demonstrated, you could return America back to greatness in an
in a week.
Nearly instantly.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's not perplexity. There's perplexity among the lost.
Yes.
Among the godless. Among the world.
Yes.
And the worldly.
Exactly. Because where God is truth and order.
Right.
The devil is chaos and destruction.
Yes.
And so anytime you see chaos, that is demonic. There is nothing
right.
about God that is chaotic ever.
That's
in
right.
In fact, God is also peace. Every time Jesus went anywhere, when he showed up anywhere, he said, "Peace be unto you. May my peace be with you. I leave my peace with you."
Yes.
He's peace, he's order, he's calm, he's truth, he's love. These are all of the godly attributes that you can recognize just plain as day right in front of your face at any given time, whether it's demonic or godly. It's
right.
easy to tell.
Yep, absolutely. So stay focused on that. Just stay
yes.
focused on the Lord when they're, you know, running around trying to find solutions to a lot of it, problems they created.
Yep.
You know, there shouldn't be perplexity among us, among
That's
the
right.
believers.
Yep.
If there is, you know, do a gut check. It is perplexing. Why are we not doing something about the border? Why are we giving money to Ukraine? You know, that's perplexing because you have godless people at the helm.
That's right.
Right. So.
Well, yes, because the godless people could care less. It's only the godly people that are going, wait, this is not right. The godless people want everything to not be right.
Right.
That's where they prosper. The godless prosper in chaos.
Right.
And so, you know, of course they're not going to do any self-checks. Of course they could, you know, they look for chaos to happen where they can take advantage
right.
of everything and everybody. And so, and especially take advantage of all of our bank accounts.
Yes. Boy, dream on.
Yeah, right. Well, they do every time you go to the gas station, every
yes.
time you go to the grocery store or anything anymore, because, you know, as we all know and understand, you know, this whole petrodollar thing is the second anybody puts their finger on the oil around the globe, you know,
yes.
whether America is buying it or whoever's selling it raises the prices of oil and makes it harder to get, that means the U.S. economy suffers.
Right.
And so that's why, you know, the whole point of resources, resources, resources. That's what this whole thing is all about. The globalists want control of all the resources in the world for themselves
yeah.
because of the eugenics terminology saying the useless eaters are consuming all of our resources.
Yes.
is how they term that. And so, you know, that's their understanding is they've got to restrain all of us useless eaters from using up all their resources. And so when our nation has more oil than any other nation on the planet right now, they know that. They know that, which is why
yes.
all of the fangs are out, why all the knives are out, and why all of our communist enemies are trying desperately to get into this nation and take it over.
You know, the globalists even admitted that the climate, the whole crisis is a hoax. It's the mechanism to get to their goals.
To steal.
They yep. identified climate as the one thing that they could try to get people to rally around and get behind. And that's why this narrative comes from so many different directions.
Right.
You know, so, but you know what? We're in the end times
right.
and there is going to be global chaos, which erupts into war and economic decline and all of this other chaos, general chaos, because the stage is being set for the Antichrist to walk onto the scene.
That's right.
And become the world leader with all the answers.
That's right.
Right. And they're going to just say, wow, this guy's, man, he's brilliant. He's so smart. Oh, he's got all these answers and solutions and he's bringing peace and people are listening to him. And so this type of insanity, delusion and chaos and wars and everything else, imploding economies have to take place because the world is going to be in just such upheaval when he walks on to say, I've got all the answers. And
yep.
everybody's going to go, wow,
yeah.
what a guy.
And I'm here to save you all.
Yes. Right.
Mimicking Jesus, yeah, you know, trying right. to take the glory. That's all Satan can do is copy. You know, he can't do anything on his own. Everything he does is a perverted copy of what God has.
Oh, exactly. Well, that's why halfway through the Great Tribulation, that's when he's going to seat himself on the new temple that everybody's excited about being built, right?
Right.
It's for him.
Yep.
I mean, the Jews are going to build it. He's going to seat himself on the throne and stop the sacrifices and say, I am God.
Yeah.
And then the fertilizer is really going to hit the oscillator at that point.
Well, yeah. Well, and that's also when the Bible says the Jews had better run. Run. The very second that happens, you just jump and run.
Run for your life. Don't even go back for your
run
bag.
Run for your life.
Don't grab anything from the house.
Don't look back. Just run as fast as you can, far away as you can. And so that's a scary thing also.
Yeah. Yeah. But, it's all coming up. So, all right. Now we got the week off set off to the correct tone.
It's true. It's the times we're in, and we're not kidding. And neither was the Lord. He told us all about it. That's why we can kind of have some sort of comfort about that, because the words are already there. And he said, "Don't fear. Don't be of good cheer. I've overcome the world," right?
And thank God for that.
And so this is exactly what Passover week is all about. He overcame the world.
Right.
This is God's precision in timing. He shows up to do Passover, fulfill Passover, unleavened bread, the Feast of First Fruits, which was just yesterday.
Yes.
And he conquered death and the grave, and he was resurrected. This is outstanding.
Yes.
And we're still in the middle. Well, not the middle. We're coming towards the end of Passover week. Tomorrow, Tuesday evening at sundown, will be the official end of Passover week. And tomorrow, Tuesday, is actually starting tonight at sundown, is also technically supposed to be another day of a high holy day in which you are not supposed to do any work.
A holy convocation.
A holy convocation to the Lord. And both the beginning Passover day and the end Passover day are both holy convocations in which you do no work. And so we will be observing that as well. And so, because when God invites you to anything, you show up. And you show up like right now. And you show up with a big fat smile on your face and a gift. That's how you show up to anything that God invites you to.
And if there was ever a time in human history to be paying very close attention to those things, to be very sensitive to those things, it's now.
Yep.
Just because of where we're at in the world, where he is on his timeline, and where we are on his timeline, this is the season that we're in.
Exactly. Because if you feel like maybe you've been a lukewarm Christian and he warns strongly against that, now's the perfect time to be an on-fire Christian.
Yeah,
now's the perfect time to have your eyes wide open and, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed about his feasts.
Taking volunteers now.
seriously, it's now time to get off this wishy-washy, lukewarm status you may have been engaging in and be on fire for him.
Right.
Whatever he says, you do it with excitement and exuberance, because that's what being on fire for the Lord means. And so what is the word of the day for Monochromatic Monday? It comes to us from a random turning. Again, this is so cool. This keeps happening. Oh. And so the word of the day for Monochromatic Monday comes to us from Psalm 18, verses 1 through 20, actually 1 through 21.
Okay.
And it's very important, because this is Passover and this pertains to Passover in a very profound way, and we will be getting to that in the explanation.
Okay.
It reads under the title God the Sovereign Savior. It reads, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, he sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above. He took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. And that's it. And I actually think we should continue the rest of that until it's completed. So probably the next day or more to finish all of Psalm 18 because it's glorious. And here's the fascinating part about this. The word of the day for Sunday that I posted on our Telegram channel was from Acts chapter 2, where it describes how Jesus ascends into the clouds, and then it describes that that the Bible talked about his resurrection in just one verse of Psalm, where David referenced Psalm 16:10, 16:10, where it says, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." That is the only verse in the entire Bible that is prophetic about his resurrection, right? And so you and I were reading that going, that is the most important thing that ever has ever happened in human history, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right?
But other than Christ prophesying about his own death and resurrection.
Right. Other than that.
But in the Old Testament, I am not aware of any other prophecy.
Me either.
And that's what they had to base.
That's what they had. That was all they had to try to figure out what the Messiah would do and what would happen with him.
Right.
And so that one verse, you and I were saying, well, I was saying I could have read that 1,000 times back then. And it would have gone over my head 1,000 times.
Right. You wouldn't have applied it to him.
Right. I would not have known that just because it says, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. I would have no clue that meant that you would be resurrected from the dead.
Well, it just means you're so righteous, you're not going to be corrupted.
Yeah, right. Like in your ways.
Right.
that your actual physical body would see no corruption after you came back from Sheol, right?
Right.
And so this verse where David is prophesying this is that only verse. And so what an astonishing thing that it is so small. It's so small and seemingly so insignificant of a statement to make, and yet it denotes the biggest event in human history.
Was that in Acts?
Yeah, that was, well, it was quoted in Acts, referring back to what Psalm. David was saying in Psalm chapter 16, verse 10.
So I believe it was Paul, was attributing this psalm to being the scripture prophecy that was fulfilled with Christ's rising.
Resurrection, yep.
Yeah. Yes. Wow, what a short little blurb.
Well, okay, so here's the other interesting part. So I go to this Bible because the Bible, this particular Bible, the other one, has way better notes. So I go to it for notes. And here I've got on the opposite page under Psalm 18, these notes that are referencing Psalm 16, verse 10, which I also already have underlined. I don't recall doing this. However many years ago I did this, who knows? but the fact that Psalm 18 is basically describing God saving Jesus from Sheol and bringing him back up and how he did it. And so what he's describing is not David saying this, but David prophesying what happened to Jesus once he died and went to Sheol, and then God lifted him up, and it's described in Psalm 18.
Right.
This is something that apparently nobody really knows or understands, and with good reason. I mean,
I wonder if even Paul realized it, or if that was one of the things that was pointed out to him by Christ when he was kind of being taught by him.
Right, right.
Huh.
Well, and so that makes Psalm 18 an ultra fascinating read when it describes that the pangs of death surrounded me and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. This would be Jesus's account after death,
wow.
Right? And the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. And then, you know, describing that here he is on the cross, and it says, he, capital H, heard my voice from his temple, capital H, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Exactly. There was a huge earthquake that happened the second that he died on the cross.
Yeah.
Right? And the veil was rent from top to bottom.
Yep.
And the ground split underneath the cross. This is,
yes.
You know, all of these things happened. And so then here we've got this internal account revealed in Psalm 18 about what happened from there, from a more godly perspective that you don't get anywhere
else. From Christ's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. From God's and Christ's perspective. And so this
and David
is extremely,
probably didn't even know.
Well, see, and this is extremely fascinating because this is the week of Passover.
Right.
This was revealed to us on Resurrection Day yesterday.
Yes.
The Feast of First Fruits. This was revealed to us, this particular teaching. And I'm going, whoa. How astonishing is that when, you know, here, this is the answer to this discussion that you and I were having about how could this tiny little verse, this little tiny Psalm 16:10 have such significance? And then we go over here to Psalm 18, where I've got notes from however many years ago. I don't even recall writing those, but there's my notes and pointing out that this whole thing is that description. And so, so this particular study today and tomorrow, which will probably end, you know, we'll probably get through that tomorrow.
Yeah.
The last day, technically, of Passover. So, wow.
Very cool.
Extremely cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. And that's Psalm 18.
Psalm 18, verses 1 through 21.
21.
Yep.
There we go. Okay, got it. All right. Thank you for that.
Oh, praise God.
Absolutely. All right. Let's take a break. And this... come back on the other side. We've got some updates to talk about. What's going on with this whole, the perplexity of nations, and just we'll bring you some truth in the news on the other side. But this segment is brought to you by JesusAppears.com, helping you to get rapture ready. Don't get left behind, and find out what that means at JesusAppears.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder, select your preferred carry style, and order your holster today.
I'm Renee Holiday. I'm announcing my candidacy for Congress for District 5 in Eastern Washington as a strong conservative Christian MAGA Republican. We are currently in an existential crisis in America because of weak leadership who have failed to place God first over this nation. They have also failed to keep their oaths of office to uphold and defend the Constitution and the rights of the individual. They have failed to secure our elections and have opened our border to an invasion from over 172 countries. America has never been more vulnerable to attack than we are now. I'm running because Eastern Washington needs a rep with some spine that can stand up to this lawless regime and help bring America back under the safety of our Constitution by securing our elections and closing our border. I have already written the congressional bill to do just that and have been publicly pushing it for the past year. Eastern Washington needs a fighter with a record of being effective in fighting the globalists, and that fighter is me. I have been fighting the globalists for 18 straight years and have written 2 books about it. Eastern Washington needs an effective fighter in D.C., and that fighter is me, Renee Holiday. I need your vote on August 6th, but I need your support right now to kick off my campaign. I'm running to win and to take America back, and I can only do this with your support. Let's get it done together. So you can go to my campaign website at ReneeHolidayForCongress.com. It's spelled ReneeHoladay for Congress.com.
This ad paid for by the Committee to Elect Renee Holiday, Washington Congressional District 5. Welcome back, Christian Patriots, to segment 2 of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Lady Liberty in the studio.
That's right. Everyone, welcome back to Monochromatic Monday, where the truth of God is black and white.
Yes.
Well, we've got some very interesting things happening globally, of course, as always. And well, we wanted to start out with pointing in the direction of what is going on with BRICS, right? Because approximately 75% of the world's population now is shifting to BRICS, yeah, and away from the U.S.-backed petrodollar. And this clearly is an existential threat to the United States and all that is happening. And it's entirely due to this commie coup that we're right in the middle of happening,
yeah,
at the White House
this
and
is
in Congress.
Major strategic chess move,
yep,
on us.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll listen to this clip because this is extremely informative, but there's also something that's a positive, is that if we are able to get Trump back into office and he says, drill, baby, drill, there's nothing that could set the United States up better than that alone, because we've got enough oil to sustain us for 750 years at our current rate of usage.
That's right.
Which means we would never have to buy oil ever again. In fact, we could be that's more than the other countries have,
right?
And so we would be again the number one economic master of the world. But so that's something to look forward to.
Yep.
But listen to this clip on BRICS and the description of the petrodollar
in Ukraine, which is happening there, and what is the end game?
Well, for the globalists that are running the show, this is the globalist neocon elite, and both on the Hill as well as in the White House, and these elites in Europe, particularly in Paris, Berlin, London, they're all interested in seeing BlackRock take over Ukraine, number one, so that it can be systematically stripped of its resources and turned into a subjugated state that belongs to the larger globalist elites. But they also want to see that happen to Russia, which is why this war was never about Ukraine. It was always about what can be done to destroy Russia. And of course, since the people in charge didn't perform any strategic analysis, they never thought about purpose, method, or end state, they concluded that Russia today is still the Russia of 1992. It's weak. It's prostrate. Its economy is ineffective. Remember the McCain statement? Oh, Russia is Spain with a gas station? All of these arrogant displays of American hubris, treating Russia as though it was a third-class nation with a fourth-class military. Well, we're getting an education right now. We paid no attention to the Russians who had legitimate concerns about what we were doing in eastern Ukraine. We were building an army to attack them. We put a hostile government into that country in 2014. And we kept telling them that it made no difference to us what they thought or what they cared about. They said, we don't want NATO on our border. No one paid attention. President Trump tried to listen, but he was surrounded by people who subverted him. People who were not loyal to the president, who took an oath of obedience to the orders of the president and then ignored them. So what's the outcome? You've got a very serious war that could become regional, even global. And no one in the White House seems to really grasp that. But we're losing. The globalists are losing.
You know, that's pretty insightful. I think that's a retired general that was posted on, what, General Flynn's
channel. Yes.
Channel. Yeah. And
yeah, that's quite the astute statement, really.
Yeah, he's got the right perspective on all the moving parts involved here,
including the fact that the White House is the globalists,
and they're losing.
And they're losing,
which means we're losing, unfortunately. But the globalists, they're losing their grip on this because of this new axis that's forming.
Right.
And this BRICS move will be the nail in the globalists. When I say globalists, I mean the Euro trash, the Washington, D.C., those globalists.
That's right.
Because the World Economic Forum, they're playing both sides.
Yep.
You know,
right.
And the United Nations is just like completely infiltrated now by China.
Right.
So there's going to be this shift. The globalists are going to lose all the things that they have for their power base. You watch one day, the UN will move its headquarters probably to like
Beijing.
Beijing.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. So that Xi has a shorter walk.
Yes.
Well, so walk. No.
Walk.
No pun. Well, and so there's this little video clip going viral of, speaking of Winnie the Pooh, President 11 or Grandma Sea Cow, shows that Grandma Sea Cow is highly agitated that he had to meet with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. And he said to his aide, he said, when is he leaving? And the aide says, tonight. And Grandma Sea Cow said, good. Well, I wouldn't want to talk to Blinken either. And so,
well,
you know,
remember, right after the Biden stole the election, I think it was Blinken who was sent to meet this Chinese envoy. They treated him like the redheaded stepchild.
Yep.
They treated him like they had the, like, just loathing for him, so much disdain, so much disrespect.
Yep.
They basically said to the U.S., this is how it's going to be.
Well, you know, that's it's kind of like a Nancy Pelosi. She doesn't belong here, and they don't like her there either. Where do those people belong? Those people need to just go, like, to Mars, because, you know, they don't belong in their own nation because they're traitors to our nation, and China doesn't like them either.
Right.
Well, and so here's this other thing about BRICS that's going on. It says here that the official BRICS account on X or Twitter pinned a video to its profile with the caption China Hell March. And the footage,
oh, yes,
the footage features the song Hell March by Frank Klepacki. Well, this footage is shocking. It's of the Chinese military that literally will send chills up your spine. They are the ones who, for, you know, have had this plan to take over America for the past 100 years.
Yes.
And this is the 100th year of that plan.
That's right.
And so here they are showing this
military video, on display.
This video military footage of, oh my gosh, I've studied the Nazis, and they were very much a precise precision about everything. Well, I'd have to say China would make them sit up straight, pay attention, especially in this clip. You're just going to want to see it. I will be posting that to our Telegram channel, and it's also going to be posted to my Renee Holiday for Congress Telegram channel so that people can see this formidable foe that says that the only reason the Nazis didn't win was because they failed to be brutal and ruthless enough.
Yes.
And
that was from General Chi Hae Ocean.
That's right. And that is exactly what I'm seeing in this footage that is absolutely frightening.
They're prepared. They're prepared for a conflict that we are not prepared
for. Oh my
for.
Gosh. Yeah. Especially 7,000% increase of CCP coming across our southern border, coming from a very, very precise, strict military like this. And they're now in our nation, yeah, in every single state. I'd
have
highly
to disciplined and motivated.
Oh, yikes.
And so they're not even coming. They're here.
They're here.
Yeah.
They're here. This is just by God's grace and loving hand of protection that we have not experienced the judgment of our enemies yet.
Yeah.
And so keep praying, people. Keep praying, repenting of your wicked ways. Pray that God, pray like Daniel. Daniel prayed 90 days straight before his prayers were able to help break through the demonic realm, and just keep him in your mind while you're praying, and don't cease, because this is looking just very bad.
Yeah, it's not just a slogan, pray for the Republic, pray for Israel. I mean, this is
for real.
Yeah, Israel has the benefit of having prophecy showing that God's going to have his hand on them, and God's going to crush all their enemies when they try to come against him. We don't have that guarantee.
Right. Right.
And
we've never had this much egregious sin stack up to heaven as we have had in the past 20, 30 years now that all of the communists have been taking control over this nation, and us Christians and the pulpits have sat back and allowed it to happen.
Yep. Silence.
We didn't do the actions ourselves. We just allowed it to happen by not stopping it.
Right.
And
well,
so,
we've been doing our part.
We're trying. So. And so, there's more. On a lighter note, we never report on Elon Musk because this guy is all about himself. He is not loyal to anybody. He'll say one thing one day for pro this nation. He'll say the exact opposite the next day for pro their enemy, right? So he speaks out both sides of his mouth. He's not loyal to anybody. He's loyal just to himself. And so just yesterday, there was a posting describing Elon Musk visiting Beijing, China, when he was just over here in America, describing how bad China was running our elections and causing election fraud, making Americans think, oh, he's on our side. Well, so yesterday he was in Beijing, and he's describing as he's being filmed, it's good to see electric vehicles making progress in China. All cars will be electric in the future. And so especially when China is the premier builder of electric cars, guess who he's going to be loyal to?
And batteries.
Yep.
Yep.
Musk will be loyal to whoever is filling his bank account.
Yep.
And so those were his comments while he was in Beijing yesterday.
Got a clip here. I'll play it twice because it's really hard to hear.
Okay.
It's good to see electric vehicles making progress in China. All cars will be electric in the future. It's good to see electric vehicles making progress in China. All cars will be electric in the future.
Yeah, because he's making billions off of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And, also about this BRICS, this China and BRICS, it describes here that China says the United States' days of bullying the world are coming to an end. Hmm. Well, yeah, especially when what we just covered was, approximately 87 nations, roughly 75% of the world's population is now joining BRICS.
Yep. You separate yourself from God, you're going to separate yourself from protection.
Prosperity. Yep. You're going to tank and you're going to be judged.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Not good. So, well, we'll go ahead and end on that note. And we really mean it. Pray for the Republic. You guys be vigilant out there. Be ready to look out for yourselves and your family, your loved ones, your inner circle there.
Repent and fill your lamps.
Yep.
Fill your lamps.
Stay close to Him.
Yep.
For sure. All right. Well, join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute right here.
That's right. You all have a marvelous monochromatic Monday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.